everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Phoenix Files episode. It's episode number 351, and it is a chat I had with legendary comic creator, inker Mark Farmer. Had a chance to sit down with him at Phoenix Comic Fest, and much like yesterday's episode where I sat down with Jonathan Glapion and talked about inking, I thought it would be fun to get an older inker's perspective, someone who's been around a little longer and has seen much more, just as talented as Jonathan, and it was a blast. It was really great to meet Mark. He was a lot of fun, and I will say that as we were sitting there doing the interview, we were right next to Alan Davis, and so Alan was kind of eavesdropping on the interview. So you'll hear some back and forth between Mark and Alan, and I could have like edited it out, but I chose not to because I think it really adds to the flavor and gives kind of an understanding of the kind of relationship that Mark and Alan have, and the relationship and the camaraderie and the friendship and giving each other a hard time the way collaborators and friends and longtime partners in comic art do. So I think it adds something. Also, during the interview, Stuart Sager, who's an incredibly talented comic artist in his own right, comes up, and he had just bought a page from Alan that was inked by Mark, and had Mark come over and sign it. I left that in as well because, again, I think it adds to it, you know, Stuart talking about how his multimedia style, very messy, very visceral, very kind of in your face, as opposed to the really clean lines of Alan Davis and Mark Farmer's work. So hope you don't mind that I left that stuff in. I think it kind of adds to the overall ambiance of the interview. So really interesting what Mark had to say. I've been paying even more attention to the art in comics lately as it pertains to inking after having this conversation with these two gentlemen. I mean, it's always something I was aware of, but I think after talking to Jonathan especially about pencilers inking themselves, I'm noticing on the books that I've read recently where pencilers have inked themselves how there is something missing. I think previously I thought maybe it had to do with working digitally, going straight from like digital pencils to straight to color, which I guess in a way is like almost working in digital ink and then going straight to color. So yeah, I'm noticing that some of the better quality books, some of the art I enjoy more still is done in the traditional style with a separate penciler and inker. So I hope inkers don't go the way of the dinosaur, because I think they do add so much. So anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, as always. Hope you enjoy the interview, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace coming to you once again live from the floor of Phoenix Comic Fest. I'm here with legendary inker Mark Farmer. It's true, Mark, it's true.
It's a good job there's no visuals attached to this interview.
So thanks for joining me. How's your show been?
It's been good, nice and steady, yeah. I think numbers may be down this year from previous years, from what other, you know, guests say, but it's fine for me because this is my first time here, yeah.
Right. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about inking. You've been around, as I said, you're a legend in the industry. Let's give a brief history of your career, if we could sum it up quickly.
Well, coming from the UK, where a pencil-inker separation is very, very uncommon. Back in the day, I was probably the first person to work as an inker. It just started with fanzines, and I was contributing illustrations of my own to fanzines, and then one of the editors would say, oh, why don't you try this guy, his pencils are good, but his finish isn't so clever. So I just started working with other people and developed inking skills that way. Close friend of mine, Mike Collins, was who I worked with originally, doing work for Marvel UK in 2000 AD, got our foot in the door there, got noticed a little bit, and then one day at what we used to call the Westminster Comic Marts in London, Dave Gibbons approached me, just started doing his run on Glenn Wynne's Green Lantern, and he said, I need an inker for a couple of months while I have a vacation and decorate the house, could you help me out? And yes, of course I could help you out. I'd seen Dave talk at conventions before on panels and things, but I never spoke to him personally. So it was nice just to have a chat, and he sent me photocopies of some pages. I did a vellum inking job, which photocopied and sent to Dick Giordano for his approval. And he said, yeah, use him, and, you know, touch wood, I've had my foot in the door ever since working for American Comics.
Have you got a pencil by any chance?
A pencil?
I know, what do you do with a pencil?
Sorry, excuse me, no, just sign a couple of pieces.
No problem at all.
Of course, yeah. Just his due, yeah?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Mark, I barely got to talk to you. I already have a weight at my table.
I understand. Is that just the one piece, yeah?
Apparently so, yes.
That invoice somebody else. Okay, cool.
Amazing work, you know that.
Thank you, Stuart.
I eat like Bill's and Kevin's holding like a scouring brush. And I do well with it, but, you know, I always joke that people admire one out of two things. People who do what they do or do the opposite of what they do. This clean and control you hear all the time. But it means a lot to all of us.
Very kind. Thank you very much. Take care.
So got your foot in the door, and you've kind of been working in American Comics ever since, right?
Yeah. I mean, people always say, when did you meet Alan? I can't remember a specific day that I met Alan. We kind of met up in the bar at the Westminster Comic Marts, and it was all very informal and supportive. People, you know, got our folders out, put folders out, showed each other work, and we all got excited. And said, I've got a job off Marvel UK or 2000 AD. But I was working, as I say, for DC, then Carl Potts, who was editor at Marvel at the time, asked me to do the Alien Legion, which was bi-monthly on top of Larry Stroman's pencils. That was great because Larry tried different things and I was encouraged to do different things as well to compliment him. And then I was working with Joe Staten on the Green Lantern Corps for a while at DC, which is great because Joe's pencils are so clean and you could interpret them in a number of ways. I look back on that stuff now, it looks really weak, weedy kind of ink, you know. These days I'd probably have a bit more confidence to beef it up a little bit and then add a bit more, but it was a good learning curve, it was good. And then one day Alan, we did a Captain Britain, he was the last Captain Britain Alan penciled and wrote the story because Jamie Delano had left the comic at that time. So it was a little tryout for me. Again, looking back on that, it looks awful. I know what high standards Alan asks for these days. So, we got together on the first Excalibur, the large size, double size Excalibur, because Paul was struggling to meet the deadline. So I went out to Alan's house, helped him out on maybe two or three pages out of 40 or something like that. But I think it was a psychological help more than anything else. And then when Paul didn't want to do it anymore, Alan asked me if I'd like to do it, and we've been working together ever since. So,
yeah, when you get legendary pencilers like Alan Davis, he's sitting right next to us, listeners.
I know, yeah, he's probably listening as well.
He probably is. That's awesome. But it's and Jonathan Glapping and I were talking about this with him and Greg Capullo. It's like when you find that match, it's like the penciler doesn't want to let you go.
Well, you like to think so, yeah.
It's almost like a marriage, right?
I'm pretty sure Alan told me to sling my hook if I was letting him down in any way. But, yeah, well, I'm always open to his suggestions. If he thinks I'm not doing something correct, I'm always willing to change it. I know the number of times we've been frustrated by colourists when we've asked them to do things and they just ignore you, and, you know, we kind of like hope you'd have a good working relationship.
Right.
Alan asked me to change something. I'm more than willing to change it because his knowledge is far, far more deeper and vaster than mine will ever be, you know. So I accept his requests and change it.
And I think there are so many, I mean, we see a lot, fewer and fewer inkers these days. They're either pencilers are inking themselves, or they're going straight from digital pencils to colors. And I think a lot of fans don't realize what it is inking is, so how additive it is. Can you talk a little about that?
What, the inking process?
Yeah, like how much it adds to the pencils, texture, line weight, things like that.
Again, that depends on the penciler and what the penciler wants. I mean, Alan does quite finished pencils, a bit looser these days than he used to do. Yeah. Please don't interrupt my interview. Did I come and interrupt you on the stage yesterday? No.
I thought we got a little bigger.
Anyway, where was I before? So
you were going to tell us how much you add to Alan's pencil.
Everything. Absolutely everything. No, Alan, you know, he likes to, he's always stipulated as long as the faces and hands are accurate, I can more or less, which is bullshit because the number of things he asked me to change when he sees the finished stuff. No, that's it. He's quite open to that, you know, and if something's wrong these days, with a chance to scan something and send him from to have a look at, he can change or ask me to change it,
right,
if it's something too severe. But then, you know, you get the chance to do breakdowns, finishes over breakdowns, which is where the layouts are basically done for you and you just do the pencils, finishes, whatever you want to call it. And if you've got the time to do that, which I haven't always got the time to do it justice, that can be really satisfying if it's a good job.
Why do you think it is that there are fewer and fewer inkers these days? Is it because pencils have become so tight?
It's the money. There's not the money to pay a penciler and an inker. Marvel or DC, it's cheaper to pay some guy. I don't know whether a pay rate might pick out the air, but it's cheaper just to pay somebody to do their own pencils and colouring if they can do it as well.
Yeah,
and
that's too bad.
It's just the way sales are going, you know. If it wasn't for the films these days, I don't think we'd be shifting many comics at all, irregardless of the quality of the artwork or the stories or anything else.
Now, when you look at finished work, can you always tell when there's an inker that's added to it, as opposed to things that got done digitally? Does it have a different look?
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to explain. I can see and I know it, but without actually visually having something to point to you now. But there is a depth and there's a richness that I think you get from real work on real paper as opposed to on a screen.
It looks almost smooth for some reason. It doesn't have the texture and the feel.
I mean, I've done a few jobs recently for 2 years ago or so for DC, and it was all done digitally. I could tell because the Superboy's S was backwards, so the guys obviously scanned and flipped the page and corrected things like that. And also there were figures that were so tiny and detailed, they must have been drawn A3 size and reduced down and to try and ink that. I mean, I could have inked it digitally, but it goes against the grain, shall we say. So I had to really get in there and with a magnifying glass and work real tight to do it justice. Yeah.
Do you find that there are still fans that really appreciate and understand thinking that come up to you?
I mean, selling original artwork, a lot of people ask what the blue lines are underneath on the pages that I present. It's just because Alan's process these days, he does preliminary sketches, A5 size, and then blows them up to A3, scans them as blue lines, and goes in and tightens up those. It's more to say the surface of the paper than anything else when I come to ink, because Alan's the kind of guy who draws and draws into stuff and erases and draws in and erases, and it can end up making the paper bleed if you try to ink on it or anything. So in that respect, it's tighter, cleaner pages. But of course, the downside of that is that when I come to erase, the pencil lines are genuinely there. There's still a blue line. You know, because they are rough, they are just layouts, very rough layouts. So the finished ink lines don't always correspond to the blue lines underneath. People think I've done a copy of Alan's pages and trying to sell it as original. It's not the case. We'd never dream of doing that. Don't need to do that. It's just they've got that blue background to it, and a lot of collectors don't like to see that. They like to see a clean page, just the black and white artwork. And I'm afraid those days probably are behind us now.
It's too bad, but I'm glad that fans still appreciate what you do and come up. You know, a few people have come up while we've been sitting here chatting. So
It's mostly old school people, you know, people who have read comics for many years. The youngsters these days don't really get what inking is.
I find, and with part of the reason I wanted to chat with you about inking, part of the reason I wanted to chat with Jonathan is, I find so many of our listeners just don't understand. They think inking is tracing, and sometimes it might be going over the exact pencil line, but sometimes not. And adding the textures and the line weights to separate foreground and background.
And add a bit of depth to things and shade and stuff.
There's so much to it. And to Jonathan's point, he was talking about, so you've got, in your case, Alan's creative mind, and then you're adding your creative mind to that. The product's only going to be better than the sum of the parts.
Well, you hope so.
Right.
That's the plan.
Right.
Never deliberately tried to screw anything up. It has happened, you know. But
Now, are you active on social media at all, Mark? Is there any place for
Not
fans
really,
to follow
no,
you?
Not really, no. Alan's website has some of my artwork there. There's a lot of stuff that can be seen on comic art fans, people who buy stuff and then like to show it off, what they own and stuff. But no, I don't do Facebook, I'm afraid, or any social media. Dolly, that's my daughters. They're face down on their phones most of the times. I like to read and watch TV and rather than get sucked into that world. So I do apologise to anybody, but my email address is on Alan's website. If they wanted to get in touch with me, it's there for them to drop me a line. And
so there you go, listeners. Keep your eyes out on the convention pages. If Mark is at a show, I highly encourage you go talk to him about inking. He'll be happy to shed a little light into exactly what it is that inkers do. Yeah. So really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Take care.